Thank you for listening to this message from Life Christian Center.
I feel like we have started off 2020 in a really good way. Amen. For those of you who got to be with us Wednesday on New Year's Day, we gathered for just a little while of worship and word and prayer, and God showed up, and we had just a great time, and I believe that he is here again this morning, amen? And so we want to give him his perfect place this morning. How many know that in life, inevitably we will have relationships? Yep. Tom, what is your relationship to this woman?
She's my wife.
She's your wife. All right. She's your soulmate. All right. Hey, Blade, what's your relationship to this guy?
My friend.
He's your friend. That's awesome. That's awesome. All right. I'm not going to ask you to, don't worry. All right, boys. These guys right here. What's your relationship?
A brother. A brother.
It's your brother? What about this guy? He's your brother, too. Okay. We claimed him earlier. He didn't when we did a preview before service. How many knows we all have relationships, right? And sometimes it's with our spouse, sometimes it's with our children, sometimes it's our siblings, sometimes it's our friends. How many of you have friends? You're doing pretty good. All right. This whole side of the church needs help because nobody raised their hand. And so if you all need a friend, I will be your friend. All right. But you see, relationship by definition is the way in which two or more people think or talk to, rather, behave towards and deal with each other. How Tom and Flossie behave and talk to and deal with each other is different than how Blade and Ezra do that same scenario, and even how the boys do that scenario, but yet they are all in relationship, correct? All right, relationship, again, by definition, is the way in which two or more people are connected. Everybody say connected. All right, they're connected, again, by marriage. They're connected by friendship. They're connected by blood. So how many knows relationship comes in different formats, different sizes, but it all boils down to connection, all right? Everybody, again, say that with me this morning, connection. So to be connected is to be joined or linked together in useful relationship. And I hesitate to ask this question, but I'm going to. Your relationship, it's useful, correct? Useful. Okay, yeah, we got it. We got a yes from both of them, all right? So, you guys, would you say your friendship is useful? Why did you hesitate? I see who the good friend is now. All right, brothers, is your relationship useful? I got one thumbs up and two, all right? So one third versus the two, okay. Well, you're not proving me. Thank you all for standing strong, all right? You see, the truth is, all right, relationships are meant to be useful, but how many knows it's not always meant for necessarily for us to be using that relationship, all right? They're meant to be productive. So connection is most commonly found, again, as a relation, but it's usually a relation of maybe really two things if we really boil it down this morning. And the first is association. How many of you would say, yeah, there's people that I'm just associated with? All right. And in that element of association, there's maybe just a common interest or a common place or a common thing that brings you together. But outside of that, there isn't any real form of useful relationship. And again, we have those association type relationships in life through many different areas. But then the second is this, and that's a relation of intimacy, all right? And I mean intimacy by emotional closeness. There's more than just a single common thing or interest that brings you together. There's kind of multiple layers that involve you and that other individual's life. And because of that, you exchange the realities of life. And in the realities of life, how many know we get emotionally attached? And that's okay because we are meant to be people of relationship, all right? So we have association and then we have intimacy. And again, intimacy can be applied to marriage. Intimacy can be applied to friendship. Intimacy can be applied to blood, all right? You guys are blood brothers? I mean, seriously, you are. I mean, it's in your DNA. So, all right, we are going to do this morning. Around the beginning of October, I really began to feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to focus on the word abide. Everybody say abide. And I kind of felt like it was weird, and I wasn't sure what he really wanted me to do with it, but I just kind of began to chew on that word abide. And of course, as I began to dive into the word of God and what it maybe had to say about the word abide, what I realized is that word abide really does begin to embody the thought of intimate relationship or intimate connection. And so this morning, I want to begin to express a few thoughts in that regard, because how many knows that statistically it's somewhere between 85 and 90% of people who come to confess Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they do so through relationship. Now, there are other means by which people come to know the Lord, but the greatest statistic is through relationship. I was asked this week, what is the greatest asset of any church? And at first, I misunderstood the question, so I gave a different answer. But then this older pastor, he restated the question to me again, and I said, oh, I'm sorry, that's easy. I said, the people. And he said, exactly. The greatest resource of the church is its people. Amen? And within that, we have to understand that as that being the greatest resource, we also know that how many knows relationship is involved in that? How many know sometimes relationships can be hard, right? Sometimes you're that best friend and the other person's not. Or for you, sometimes that other person's your best friend and they're like, man, I really wish this guy would just leave me alone. That's what I get a lot when I call my best friends. All right. You see, the truth of the matter is relationships can be dysfunctional, they can be functional, and they can be everything in between. But we cannot disregard the fact this morning that we are meant to be people of relationship. We are meant to be people of connection. Look at your neighbor and say, connect. Ooh, Lord, help me. So why is that so important this morning? Why are relationships so important? Why is connecting to one another so important? You see, I think it's important because relationships express care. How many of you have ever experienced care through a relationship that you had? You see, relationships, they show interest, they open doors, they build trust, they make an impact, and they help lead to transformation, especially when we are talking about relationship inside of the kingdom of God and inside of his kingdom people, when they really truly begin to allow relationship and connection to work. So as we look through and we explore the Gospels, we can clearly see that Jesus himself strategically created relationships so that he could better teach, so that he could better reach, and so that he could better minister to the multiplied different types of people that he did, even during his time. And so we know that if it's good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for us today, right? And if he can endure the types of relationships that he had to endure, how many knows today we can endure those same relationships, all right, by his grace and by his mercy? You see, he even taught specifically on the necessity and the benefits of relationship using that very word abide that I mentioned to you earlier. And so this morning, I want us to go to John chapter 15. And we're going to begin reading in verse 1 and we'll end in verse 8. Beginning in verse 1, it says this, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, he prunes. That it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Look at your neighbor and say, hey, branch. You guys are gonna warm up before this is over with, I promise. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. How many of you this morning would say, I know Jesus Christ? How many would say, that makes me a disciple? All right? I'm so glad that you agreed this morning. How many know this morning the very first and greatest relationship in each of our lives today should belong to the very same person? And that is Jesus Christ, right? As a kid, I remember thinking, how in the world can I love God more than I love my mom or my dad or my family? But as I grew and as I matured and as God's word took its proper place in my heart, what I grew to understand is that he is the foremost relationship in my life. Because as much as I admired my parents and as much as I admire my family and my siblings, as much as I admire my spouse and my own children, there could be a moment in life where they don't match up to who he is and they could potentially forsake me or abandon me, right? That's the reality of human relationship. And so there was this moment as a young man where I realized it really didn't matter how great that my parents or my family were, that God was greater because he literally, as his word says, will never leave us nor forsake us. Amen? And so there had to be that shift in my life where my affections and my heart were turned more towards him than any other relationship that I have in my life. And to this day, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, as much as I love my family and they love me, I'm hoping that they have experienced that very same thing in their life, where God is first and foremost, even before me in their life. Amen? So as he is to be that first and greatest relationship, we need to understand that, again, to be truly successful within any other relationship that we may have, we have to first be connected to him and be in perfect relationship with God the Father through Jesus Christ. How many knows when I'm in relationship with him, that makes the potential of my relationship with my wife better? When I'm in relationship to him, it makes me as a father be in a better potential relationship with my children. You see, it extends to every other relationship that we have when he becomes first and foremost in our life. Jesus began by saying, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. That word true denotes that which is genuine and nourishes the soul unto everlasting life. And he combines it with the word vine. And the word vine, as Jesus used it here in John, it describes how he himself is the vine and imparts to us the branches, the sap necessary for us to gain strength and become productive, all right? Another way of maybe saying it would be Christ infuses into his followers or his disciples his very own divine strength. How many knows we have to find ourselves in him this morning? He has to be our primary relationship and concern overall, or none of the other relationships in our life are gonna quite work out just right. As I was studying, I got to looking, and I have to, there's a little diagram here I want to pop. Oh, well, I wish that was a little darker. I got to give mad props to Stormy because I gave him like 5 different things, and I said, hey, can you make all of this not look like this and make it look like what I had scribbled on a notebook paper? He did a great job, so everybody give Stormy a hand. All right. Now, this is going to be hard to see, all right? But basically, what I found was this is what they are considering a common grapevine, all right, if you will. And these are the branches, and this is what we would say is a stalk, all right, the root system. But if you've noted, and it's, again, I know it's hard to read here, all right? But at this point right here, it's actually called the head, And I thought, well, that's pretty cool. Well, then there's this section here in the middle that is stated to be the graft union. I thought, well, that's pretty cool. And then, of course, we have the root stock or the root system. And as I began to think about that and how he said, I am the vine, and he described himself as being that individual that when you're hooked up to me, I'm going to supply you strength. I'm going to supply you everything that you need to be who you are and to be fruitful. I got to thinking about that in relationship to Scripture. And so we know that Christ is the head. Amen. All right, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23 says this: I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. Verse 22. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Now, I want you to say that with me. Say, he is the head for the benefit of the church. Verse 23, and the church is the body and is made full and complete. Say, I'm made full and I am made complete. All right. It says, by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. So we know this morning, all right, that him saying, I am the true vine, what he's saying is, I am your source of strength. I am the head. I am what needs to be, again, first and foremost in your life. And if we move from that element to the head and we kind of move down in that diagram there, we find that thing that they call the graft union. And we know today that Christ is that graft union. How many know each of us have been grafted into the family of God? We were not natural born, right? How many understands that we're Gentiles? Saved by grace, all right? To live in a heavenly place. I can't think of another way to rhyme that, so we're going to move on to the scripture. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19 through 22. So now you Gentiles are no longer strangers and foreigners. You are citizens along with all of God's holy people. You are members of God's family. Together we are his house, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, and the cornerstone is Christ Jesus himself. We are carefully joined together in him, becoming a holy temple for the Lord. Through him, you Gentiles are also being made part of his dwelling, where God lives by his Spirit. How many of us today, thankfully, we have been grafted into the head, which is Christ Jesus, so that we can have all of the family benefits? Amen. So this morning we need to understand who he is and what he is offering to us. The third thing is that Christ is that rootstock for our lives as well. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 says this: in the same way that you received Jesus our Lord and Messiah by faith, continue your journey of faith, progressing further into your union with him. Your spiritual roots go deeply into his life as you are continually infused with strength, encouraged in every way, for you are established in the faith you have absorbed and enriched by your devotion to him. How many of us, if we are going to commit ourselves to anything, we need to commit ourselves to Christ? We need to have that element of devotion, as it kind of came up in Sunday school with Daniel. Daniel was faced with a choice, and he could have remained steady in that devotion that he had already been exhibiting, or he could have kind of internalized that devotion for God when push came to shove and relationships around him began to change. But what he did in that very moment was he said, no, I'm devoted. I'm sold out. I'm so connected to God that it really doesn't matter what other relationships in my life try to put on me or place against me. I'm doing this before I do anything else. And do we have that resolve in our own hearts this morning to make sure that when push comes to shove or when life brings its issues, are we fully devoted to him because he is our source of strength and encouragement this morning? How many would say, he's mine and I am his? Amen. You see, understanding who he is helps us better relate and connect to him so that our relationship is one that produces. How many knows that God has expectations? How many knows that in every relationship we have, regardless of the level in the intimacy of that relationship, there are expectations? My wife has certain expectations of me. I have certain expectations of my wife. My children have certain expectations of me. I have certain expectations of them. You all, I assume, because some of you do express it, you have expectations for me, all right? And sometimes I get to express those to you. I do have them for you. If you want to know what yours is, we can personally meet at any time, go to lunch, share a meal, and we'll have a little talk, all right? And we can talk about expectations. But how many knows every relationship comes with them? All right, and so our relationship with God is no less, all right? But understanding that we are to produce, all right, but it's not up to us completely that he says, if you will come into relationship with me, if you will connect to me, the head, if you will be grafted into me, if you will draw from what my root structure and root system can give you, I'm telling you right now, you're gonna just be fruitful. That's pretty good assurance, isn't it? That if we will just align and connect ourselves to Christ, he's not saying we have to produce it ourselves, but he's saying that which I give you, when you begin to put it to work, will naturally produce the fruit. And fruit, again, as scripture goes on to say, that will remain. You see, I believe that the purpose of our relationship with Christ is to produce. We are to be a producing people. Verse 8 says, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, all right? So you will be my disciples. You see, disciples are those who learn the scriptures and then live a lifestyle in accordance to those scriptures. And sometimes we want to say, no, I'm a disciple, I'm a follower of Christ, but then we skip out on the actually following him part. And we know what we're supposed to do, and we know what we're supposed to say, and we put on a good face and a good show when we need to. But there are areas of our life that are unsurrendered, if you will, to him. And so we don't have that closeness and that genuine connection like we're supposed to. But how many knows disciples, the Bible describes when Jesus says, I want you to come and follow me, that he means step by step, the same path that I take. And so how many knows this morning, for us to really find ourselves immersed in that relationship and connection with God, we can't do it half his way and half our way. It has to be all his way, amen? We have to make sure that we truly are not just saying, yes, these are things that are Bible approved, but we're taking them and we're applying them to our lives and living them out. You see, again, disciples interact to receive instruction. Hopefully you're here today to give God honor and glory and praise because he's worthy of it, amen? He's faithful, he's good. As we sang this morning, his love for us, it never changes. Regardless of who we are or what we do, his love for us is the same, and his desire for us to be in that love relationship with him never goes away and it never fades. But how many knows we have to be a part of that relationship too and uphold our end of the deal? So hopefully this morning you were here to worship him, but also hopefully you're here today to receive something, whether through the word in Sunday school or the word as we minister it from the pulpit this morning, so that you can take that and you can receive that instruction, and then you could commit yourself to follow through on that instruction again, and then put it into life application or life practice. How many knows if we know all these things, but we refuse to live these things, we're really just deceiving ourselves. And we're leaving not only ourselves at a disadvantage, we're leaving the world around us at a disadvantage. Amen. You see, when we abide in him, the word says he abides in us. And that word there, abide, it means to remain. It means that he never departs, he never leaves. He's constantly present in our lives. And he says, but the same is true for you, that you will remain in me, that you will stay, that you will be constantly present in my presence. You see, this is an absolute necessity because we as the branches cannot bear fruit in and of ourselves. And a lot of times I think we're like, nah, I can make that happen. And we try and we try and we try and we fail and we fail and we fail. How many knows we can have the best laid plans, but if he's not connected to those plans just don't succeed. You see, we have to understand that we can only bear fruit by abiding in him. Again, by choosing not to depart or leave him, but by continually being presently placed in him who is that true vine. We have to make sure that it's not just something we do. We have to make sure that Sunday isn't just somewhere we go. All across America today, people woke up and they went to church and they don't really know why. And you're like, no, that can't be true. But we see it. People all across America this morning, out of habit, woke up and went to church. They came in unchanged and they will leave unchanged. Because they're coming to a place, but they're not coming to stay connected to that person as we know Jesus Christ. You see, so we can come to a place and we can be in attendance, but we can be missing the attention and the attentiveness and the connection that we truly need to be involved in. Disciples abide in him. Disciples, followers, true people who are not just going to label themselves Christians, but live out the Christian life. They abide in him. They remain. They're constantly present in that connection with their Lord and Savior. They relate. They become intimate. They stay connected. And this morning you may think, well, you know, Pastor, we're here. We are the ones who are connected. How many know sometimes little things can come in and begin to move us and distance us and separate us? And so this morning, even for myself this week in studying, I had to evaluate where I truly was. Was I really giving God my all? Was Christ really the first and foremost relationship in my life? Was I truly abiding in him and him abiding in me? And can I be honest with you and tell you that he brought to attention some things that have been standing in the way? Oh, but you're a pastor. Yeah, but I'm also a person. And as people, we often fail. And so there are times where we need to, like this morning, we need to really evaluate where we are in relationship and connection to Jesus Christ. Because again, disciples abide in him. They stay connected, all right? Disciples stay connected so that they can be pruned for growth. If we go back and we read the beginning of that scripture as we found it in John chapter 15, he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. You see, there's this process in being connected to him that disciples understand the value of being connected, but they also understand the value of being pruned. And that word being pruned basically denotes how one is shaped, all right, by cutting away things that are maybe dead in our lives or cutting away things that are not necessary so that we can be shaped for growth. How many know sometimes we need to understand that in being connected to Christ, he's not trying to be critical in our life. He's just trying to shape us so that we can bear more fruit. You see, disciples stay connected, again, so that they can bear fruit as they are called. Disciples stay connected because they understand that without him, they can't really accomplish anything that's lasting. You see, disciples, they choose to stay connected so that they don't dry out and become consumed. How many knows that if you just, and I know in my yard alone, sometimes I'll walk out and I'm like, why is that branch there? Why is that little limb there? Well, what has happened at some point is something came between it and the head. Something came between it and that graft union, that root system, and it was no longer drawing strength and nutrients from that system. And so it eventually dried out and it broke off, it fell off. You see, if we're not careful, we can think that we're connected, but we can be dry. But how many knows that even in the most driest state, Christ provides that grafting back into him? And so if we will understand, yes, I'm dry, I'm a little disconnected from where I need to be, he will yet graft us back in and bring us to health and life if we will choose for that to happen. You see, disciples stay connected as the word declares to his word. He said this, and I believe it was verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. And now it simply means that his word as we know it, the teachings that he gave and presented. You see, what happens is when we abide in God's word, it basically means that God has established his word permanently within our soul, and it always exerts its power within us. I don't know about you, but if you are not connecting to your heavenly Father through the word of God, you are missing out. Because it will change your life. It won't make everything puppies and sunshine and rainbows and all of that, okay? On certain days, it really does. It can make the baddest, worst of the worst situations better. And it can bring you through some of the darkest nights and holes that you've ever been in your life. But at the same time, there may be times where we need to understand. How many knows we need to go to God's word even when we're in victory? Even when we're standing in prosperity, even when we're standing on a good day, we still need to be connected to his word because, again, it is life, it is power, it is strength. And when we have that, he says, that will permanently dwell in us and it will cause there to be a power that we draw from that is consistently present in our lives. You see, relationships are important, especially in respect to us living in God's kingdom and accomplishing God's kingdom agenda, all right? But there are none more important than our relationship with Christ, that very true vine. It has to be first in our life. And we have to make sure that on a daily basis, and sometimes, I don't know about you, there's been days where you have to moment by moment just make it through. I'm connected to Christ. I'm connected to Christ. You see, but we have to make that conscious effort and choice. You say, you know, this is a really weird way to kick off the first Sunday of the year. I don't think so. What better way to kick off the year than to know and make sure that we've taken the time to evaluate and examine our hearts and know that we're connected to the one person who's really going to be able to bring transformation not only to our lives, but to the lives of those who he would have us minister to. What better way to start the year to make sure I'm truly connected to Christ, the true vine, today? You see, you aren't a disciple unless you're connected in relationship with Christ. You can call yourself whatever you want. But if you're not truly connected and in an ongoing relationship, you're not really a disciple. You see, you can't make disciples if you aren't first a disciple, right? There's no way for us to reproduce something that we are not. It's impossible. So if we're going to fulfill what God has called us to do and be disciples and make disciples, how many knows we have to first make sure that we're a disciple and that we're connected to him and that we're in that personal relationship and commitment and that it's not an association type thing, but it's an intimate thing. You know him and he knows you and you're really wanting to get to know him more and more and more and more. If you will, stand with me this morning. You see, as scripture says, God is glorified when we are found connected to Christ, the vine, and when we are bearing fruit that represents and reproduces that same connection and relationship for others. This is, again, I believe, where relationship begins. It begins at the head, which is Christ. And we have to make sure that we are there. It can't just be an element of social association, but it has to be a spiritual connection that we have with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. Our responsibility this morning is to stay connected and to not let anyone or anything cause any form of disconnect between us and Christ. Not even those we love the most. Not even the things that we love the most. You see, this morning, is he number one in our lives today? Because if we aren't careful, even the smallest of things can begin to sever us from that very source of life. And it may take a while and it may be a while, but there will be that day where the wind comes, storm of life blows, and we're broken and we're laying on the ground disconnected because we have dried up because we weren't truly connected to Jesus Christ. You see, we're reminded in the Songs of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 15. He says, catch us, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. And we can kind of read that and we can get what's most important out of that. Don't let the little things spoil what we really have and who we're connected to. But I love the way that the Passion Translation renders this for us. It's, you must catch the troubling foxes, those sly little foxes that hinder our relationship. For they raid our budding vineyard of love to ruin what I've planted within you. Will you catch them and remove them for me? We will do it together. You see, if we're not careful, there are things in our life that hinder our relationship with Jesus Christ. If we're not careful, those things that he has tried to plant in us to bring forth from us can be spoiled by those little things that we refuse to remove. And I love how this version says, hey, I want you to catch them and remove them, but you don't have to do it by yourself. He said, let's do it together. And how many knows that is the way we truly are transformed? It's not by our own power, our own might, but it's by the Spirit, saith the Lord. Amen. And so we know that we have that evidence of the Holy Spirit living in us. We have the power of his word, as was mentioned, and what it can provide for us. And so let's take those resources that we're connected to through Christ Jesus, and let's remove all those little things that have tried to replace him and come in between him and distract us from who we really are in him and what he really needs to be doing in us. You see, these foxes are the compromises that are hidden deep sometimes within our hearts. These are the areas of our lives where we just haven't allowed the victory that we have in Christ to shine through yet. The foxes, again, they keep that element of the fruit of the Spirit and those things that Christ would love for to be growing inside of our lives. It keeps them from growing. You see, what happens is they really keep us from connecting to that true vine that is Jesus Christ. So this morning, we all have a choice to make, myself included. And my hope is that we won't let our relationship with Christ be spoiled. My hope this morning is that it will be strengthened through an intimate connection that we say is the very first in our life. It's the most important. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And God, I thank you that we can be connected to you. That God, though we were hopeless, God, as your word declares, we were without the promises of God. We were without even the promise of the Messiah. God, we were outside of your blessing. We were outside of, God, those things that would bring us into covenant with you. But Lord, you changed all that through Jesus Christ. God, you made a new and a better way. And God, you brought us in so that we could be considered part of your family. And so, Father, I thank you for that this morning. And God, I pray that we would not put ourselves, God, in a known disadvantage of being disconnected in any way from you who are that true vine today. Lord, as we begin this year, we want to begin it boldly. God, we want to begin it in that element of power and prayer and being in your presence, God, as we have already begun to experience in this house this past week. But God, we don't want to move forward into some form of empty religion and deny the power that truly is available to us. God, we want to bend our hearts. God, we want to bend our knees. God, we want to bend our desires. We want to surrender, God, everything that would potentially divide us or disconnect us from who you are. So Father, help us to be honest with ourselves. And God, help us to evaluate and examine and make sure that you are, God, the first and foremost relationship in our lives. Father, that's where it begins. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I can't think of a better moment to come and surrender your life to him and begin that connection, begin that relationship. But for most of us this morning, I think we just need to pause for a minute and pray and make sure that he is who he really is in our life. that he's abiding in us and we're abiding in him. And we're not willing to forfeit. We're not willing to allow the little foxes to come in and spoil any part of our connection with him this morning. If you don't know Jesus Christ, I would love for you to come forward this morning and let us pray with you. But for those of us who have already made that connection but just need to make sure that we're not distracted in some format, these altars are open, or you're more than welcome to pray where you are this morning. But let's take just a moment and make sure that we're in the right place, connected to the right person. As they begin to play and sing this morning, I want you to just take a little bit of time. If you need prayer of agreement for any other thing in your life, for the life of a loved one, a friend, please come forward. Give us that opportunity and chance to pray with you and believe that God is going to do a miracle work on your behalf this morning. But let's pray together this morning and make sure that our hearts are truly connected to his.
Thank you again for listening to this message. For more information on our church and the ministries that we offer, please visit us on the web at lccmadisonville.com or at any of our social media accounts at lccmadisonville.